We began a series just a couple weeks ago called Displaying the Fruit of the Spirit. We're going to begin this morning by seeing how well you're doing at recalling what the fruit of the Spirit actually is. Now, notice it said is. When you read my article, you'll see that the fruit is a singular thing, even though it has all these wonderful flavors. It's a fruitopia, in a sense. It's beautiful. But we're going to see from Galatians 5, 22 through 23, if you can remember. Now, don't look on the screen. I'll bring it up later. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, depending on your translation, you might have a few different words than those there, but those are the ones listed in the New International Version and other versions as well. Those fruit of the Spirit. Aren't they wonderful, beautiful traits? Glorious traits. Wonderful traits. Thus far, we've seen that this godly fruit can be choked out, though, by some rotten, sinful fruit, we'll call it, in our lives. Because according to the Apostle Paul, he says the sinful flesh is in conflict with the Spirit of God. We've also heard from Jesus in John 15 last week that displaying the fruit that God calls us to bear glorifies Him. And you see, when our talk and our walk matches, it glorifies God. It really does. Jesus says that in John 15. And he says it also identifies us as genuine Christ followers. He even went so far in John 15 as to say, if we don't bear the fruit of love in particular, we will be cut off. And that is a serious thing. So this is serious stuff. And we need to then ask ourselves perhaps, well, what do I need to do to ensure that I'll produce such fruit? I mean, if it's that serious and God really wants me to do it and He's created me for that in Christ Jesus to do that, what do I need to do to help that along, to ensure that? As I said last week, first of all, this is not something we can do on our own. It really is not. We're going to consider that more closely next week, but you'll get that idea repeated time and again from me that we need to remember this is not something we can do with consistency and with the beauty and the wonder that God intends on our own. A lot of times what we call love isn't love, not the love of God, at least, that He wants for us. A lot of things that we consider to be joy and peace are only circumstantial, and those are not the things that God is talking about in the fruit of the Spirit. This has got to come from Him. So we're going to look at Jesus' words in John 15 once more, this time just focusing on the first 12 verses. If you'd like to follow along in your own Bibles, if you brought them with you, or you want to use one of the pew Bibles, that is fine. We're going to have it on the screen for you as well. Jesus says in John 15, beginning in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, well, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. He says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. He goes on to say in verse 4, remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Notice that. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, what's he say? You can do nothing. Continuing on in verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. Then he says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father's loved me, he says, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Now in this text, there are three things that Jesus highlights as our personal responsibility. Remember, this is a work of the Spirit, but we have some responsibility here, if you will, to submit to or cooperate with the Spirit. And there's some responsibilities that Jesus lays out for us here. So let's take a look at them very closely. First, he says, we must remain in Jesus. Did you hear that when we read the text? Did you hear that? Remain in me. Remain in me. That's what he said. He said that in verse 4. And in verse 9, he says, remain in my love. Now, if these aren't identical ideas, they're not a hair's breadth apart. How many of you, you know, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. And Jesus, as God in the flesh, is the epitome or the embodiment of love. His love. So to remain in Jesus is to remain in his love, and he is love. So we need to remain in him to bear fruit. Why? Why? Because he is the vine. Right? That's what he said. I am the vine. You're the branches. You must remain in me to bear fruit. And remember, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Zilch. Now, behind my house, along the fence row, I have these trees. Well, they're not really mine. I should say they're there. I don't have them. They're there along the tree line. And they've got these vines in them. And they're annoying. Can I tell you? They're annoying because used to, when the deacons would let me mow my grass, I would always find that hanging down in my face or getting tangled around things, and I'd have to trim them up there. But these vines, I cut one of these off just yesterday, okay, from those. I'm not sure exactly what kind of vines they are. I have seen little berries of some type on them. I've not tried to eat them. I don't know that they're edible. I don't know what they're, but how many of you would expect that this vine, this branch really off of the main vine, is going to bear fruit? How many of you would expect that it will now? Hands up if you think that's, no. Why? It's not attached anymore. It's cut off from the source that gives it the power to produce the fruit. Simple illustration. That's Jesus' illustration. So we've got to remain in Jesus if we're going to bear this fruit. Have to do that. Another thing, when he's talking about remaining in me, you can't stay someplace where you've never been or where you've left. I'll go over here with Jan. Hi, Jan. How are you? Good to see you. I'm going to remain up there, okay? I'm going to remain up there the whole time. I'm going to remain right there. Well, when I get back there, I'll remain there. If I'm not presently present, I can't remain there, right? You can't remain where you're not presently present. That's so vitally important. You've got to remain in him. So the question is, are you in him in the first place? Are you? Do you have this relationship with him? How do you even get in Jesus in the first place to remain in him? How do you do that? Well, there are only two places in Scripture that I know of that uses the unique language to say how we get into Jesus. Only two. One of them is Romans 6:3, where it says, don't you know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Then Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there's the idea of getting into. Ephesians 1:13 also uses this language. It says, you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth and believed it. And believed it. 2 Corinthians 12:13 also says, we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given the one spirit to drink. So we've got this idea of being baptized into Christ, but that can't be disassociated from faith, from believing. It's not just a ceremony. It is a response in faith. It is. And so when we respond in faith, see, we're baptized by the Spirit as well as in water. God is involved in that. That happens when we respond to God, accepting Jesus, confessing our need for him, see, as a Savior, accepting him as our Lord. When we're joined with Christ in baptism, we're saved by grace, not by any work we've done, through faith. We're wed to Him, ultimately, and we're added, interesting enough, by the Spirit to the church. See, we're baptized into one body, His church. So that's amazing. That's incredible. See, not only when we get into Him, we get into the body of Christ, and the larger body of Christ. How very important that is. How cool that is. Beautiful thing. So I got to ask, are you in Jesus in the first place? Are you in Him? You can't remain in Him if you're not in Him. Now, the next thing Jesus emphasizes is in verse 7. He says, His words must remain in us. Remember that? He said, you know, you remain in me. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. My words remain in you. What's interesting there is he says that this is an imperative if we want for Him to answer our prayers. I don't know if you noticed that when we read through. If you paid attention to that. But he says that if His words remain in us, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given to you. Ask whatever you wish. See, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So, see, it's an imperative for that. How many of you would love to have that promise, one you could claim, that whatever I ask, I'll receive? Whatever I ask. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you that, you know, if you look at the broader context of Scripture, what Jesus teaches elsewhere throughout the Bible, that this is not a promise, though, that He's going to fulfill all of your selfish desires. Anything you want, you know, for your own selfish purposes that He's going to give you. No, that's not what it's about. See, if you're remaining in Him and His words remain in you, you're going to have some direction about what to pray for. And you're going to be praying about those things that, again, will be fulfilling His will and His purpose for you in your life. And that might be a lot broader than just spiritual things we're asking for. But again, if we have that connection with Christ, that we remain in Him and His words in us, wow, what a great confidence we can have in our prayer life. Amen? I mean, He said it. I didn't. I'm just emphasizing it. It's beautiful. Sounds great. Sounds great. Game on. Love that. But how do we ensure again, how do we know that His words remain in us? How do we know that? Well, here you go. We have to get His word in us if it's going to remain in us. Can't remain where it's never been, right? If His words remain in us, we've got to receive them. That means we're going to have to open not just our ears, but our hearts to take in the teachings, the words of Jesus. We're going to have to do that. Does that mean we have to memorize Scripture? Some of you are hoping not. You're hoping, I hope that's not what that means, you know. Well, let me tell you, first of all, that would be a great, wonderful help in your walk with Jesus if you would memorize some Scripture. It would be such a blessing to you and a help. It really would. It really would. To help that word to remain in you. But I believe Jesus is talking more about the principles than the rote of His teachings. How many of you have ever known of a passage or something that Jesus said, but you didn't know the exact chapter and verse? Come on, hands up. You know, Jesus said somewhere, or I know Jesus said. Well, interesting enough, one of the things that helps me is that Jesus didn't quote book, chapter, and verse. Often He just said, somebody said this, you know, Isaiah said, whatever. And Paul did the same thing. They didn't, because they didn't have the thing broken down into book, chapter, and verse like we do. Praise God, we have it. But you may not know the chapter and verse. But do you know the teaching? Do you know the principle? Do you have that in you? Do you? Is it influencing your decisions and your choices? Or does it just go in one ear and out the other? Or perhaps worse, do you take it in, but you know, it's just floating around on the surface, you know, and you're not letting it take root. And then when something comes up, you know, you have a desire or a wish that's contrary to the teachings of Jesus, you just kind of like brush his word aside and go with what you feel or you want. That's sad if we do, if we discard His Word so easily. It's got to remain, see, remain in us. If we are just discarding it, not paying attention to it, not letting it, you know, really sink in and holding on to it, then that could be, from what Jesus is saying, the reason we're not bearing more fruit. Right? We've got to be connected with Him and His Word connecting with us. Early in verse 3, He said His Word has the ability to prune us. That's where He told the disciples when He's talking about pruning, if you're not bearing fruit, He said, you're already clean by the Word I have spoken to you. Hear that. What's He saying? You've already been pruned. You're ready to bear fruit because of the Word I've spoken to you. So, if we're not bearing fruit, maybe what we need is some pruning. And guess how God chooses to do that pruning so often? By His Word. We're very blessed, are we not, that we can receive His Word, take in His Word in so many wonderful ways. How many of you have at least one Bible in your possession? Maybe not right then. I'm going to say you own one, at least one. How many of you have more than one? More than one translation, maybe. How many of you have YouVersion on your phone? Man, you got 35 translations. You're all ready to go. You've got the Word of God so accessible to you. Jesus' Word so accessible, you know, that they didn't have in their time. So we've got access to it, and we've got to spend time in it for it to get in us. You hearing me? Got to. Now, you can also, here's a thought. You know, come to church and hear someone expound upon the Word and give you not only just what the Word says, but some application to it. Is that a way to get the Word in you? Absolutely. How about getting in a study group, in a Bible study group with people and opening the Word together, you know, and praying over it and trying to discern it? I mean, is the Word going to get in you? Absolutely. We've got to be open to that. But there's some sense of where we need to, if you will, give ourselves to this. God's got a work to do. He wants to do it. But we have to have His Word remain in us to receive those full blessings, to bear fruit, and also to have the answers to our prayers in the way I know we desire them to be. The last thing Jesus stresses is closely connected to the first two. He says, we must obey His teaching. Okay? We must obey His teaching. Consider verse 10. He says, if you obey My commands, you'll remain in My love. There's an if. If you obey My commands. This is often, again, like I say, where the rubber meets the road. This is so very crucial. Earlier in John 14, 23 through 24, Jesus said, if anyone loves Me, he'll obey My teaching. My Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. Now think on that a moment. The Father and the Son taking up residence with us. And I'm not talking about just, you know, in a church building, you know, just coming to visit when we come to visit. No, residence in us. That's what we're talking about, is we'll come and make our home with you. That's pretty intimate, isn't it? That's pretty cool. But He does have a qualifier on there. If we obey His teaching, that'll happen. That'll happen. And so it won't be just a visit once in a while with God and Jesus, it'll be an all-the-time thing. An all-the-time thing. Isn't that beautiful to think about that? Very intimate. He continues, he who does not love Me will not obey My teaching. How many of you love Jesus? I mean, you don't have to be ashamed about that. I mean, loud and proud, right? How many love Jesus? I do. You love Jesus? Here you go. Obey His teaching. He didn't ask you to raise your hand. I did. What did He say? If you love Me, obey My teaching. Obey My teaching. Once again, well, I don't even know what His teaching is. Well, better spend some time with Jesus and His Word so you will know what it is. If you love Him, you will. If you love Him. So many people say, I love Jesus, and they're quick to raise their hand or nod their head or say that when they're confronted with that, but you wouldn't know it because they're walk wouldn't match their talk. There wouldn't be the evidence that they were truly, truly loving Jesus. If we love him, we'll obey his teaching. If we don't, then we don't. If we don't obey, then we don't love him. That's what he says. I didn't say that. I'm just repeating it. And if we don't love him, he says, we're not going to be obeying his teaching. Now, we want to argue, I think, at times. At least we might want to. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I do love Jesus. But Jesus, you don't understand. Obeying your teaching in this particular instance, in this issue in my life, it's such a hard thing. I mean, this is really difficult for me, Jesus. I mean, what you're asking me to do, what you're telling me to do, I mean, it's going to require me to let go of some things, you know, to make some sacrifices, you know, Jesus, you don't understand. I don't think you get sacrifice. Oh, really? I don't think you understand, Jesus, how much love you're asking me for. I think he understands, don't you? You know he does. He said that as he's loved the Father, see, and he obeyed the Father, he's asking us to love him and obey him to do that. We might not be ready, we're saying, to make that sacrifice. We're not ready. What might his response be then from the text? He might say, fine. Just don't go around telling everybody you love me. Because it's hypocritical. Don't do that. Matter of fact, you know, you might want to save your breath in those praise songs you're singing on Sunday morning. We say, I love you, Lord. And then you're going out and ignoring me and not applying my teaching and you're resisting what I'm saying. You know, don't do that. It's duplicitic. You're saying one thing, but you're not following through. Now, that's hard stuff, we might think. It's difficult. That might be a part we'd have liked to skipped over. There might be some people saying, now, Pastor, I thought this series on the fruit of the Spirit was going to be all hearts and flowers. You know, I mean, fruit is tasty, it's good, it's sweet, you know, and I thought it was just going to be all sunshine and rainbows and butterflies or something, you know. Well, there's that. There is. And God in the flesh wants us to experience it and enjoy that abundant, beautiful, glorious life. He does. He does. But whether we like it or not, in order to enjoy that life, to experience that life, in order even to produce the fruit of the Spirit, well, there's some things we got to do. Our responsibility. We need to remain in Jesus. Right? Who said that? Jesus. We need to listen to his word. Who said that? Jesus. The word needs to remain in us. We need to respond to his word. We need to obey his teaching. If we're going to be able to produce this fruit with consistency, with much and abundance fruit. The beauty here, this is about keeping in step with the Spirit. It's about walking in the Spirit. We'll talk more about that next week from Galatians 5. But when we do that, he promises the fruit will spring forward. It'll spring forth. The fruit will come. It'll just come. Not again because, I want you to get this, not because of what we're doing, but because of our putting ourselves in a place for God to do what he wants to do. Just submitting to that, his work in us. In the process, God's going to be glorified. And everyone we come in contact with will be blessed. And we'll be blessed too. We'll be blessed. I asked the first lesson in the series, how many of you want to bear the fruit of the Spirit in abundance? And everyone said, yeah. Remain in Jesus. Listen to his word and obey his teaching. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for just the privilege of knowing you, of having opportunity to have this relationship with you through Christ. We are so thankful, God, that you sent him, your one and only son, to give his life that we can have this life. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to be so connected with you through Jesus that your spirit can produce this fruit. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to just surrender to your process, to just find rest in Jesus and his teaching. And Father, we know that that's going to produce fruit. And I pray, God, you just help us keep the right perspective in all that, that if someone were to praise the fruit then that we produce, we wouldn't say, oh, yeah, boy, look at me. We'd say, no, look at Jesus. Whatever good, whatever sweet fruit I'm producing, it is God through Jesus Christ and his Spirit that produces this fruit. Wouldn't you like to have some yourself? And point them to Jesus. Father, if there's anyone here today who has never got into Jesus, has no desire to, I pray, Father, that something here may have awakened at least their inclination to consider it again. And if someone's drifted, if they've separated themselves from him, I pray that they will know that, oh, he's patient and loving and kind and waiting for them just to come to be reconnected and to produce fruit. Father, be with us as we walk the talk and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.